It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Success Happens. It's wonderful to have you with us. And, you know, I think today is a really important show. It's a follow-up to last week's show. If you had an opportunity to hear it, if you didn't, you should go on the podcast and definitely listen. And it was with our illustrious Sheriff Chuck Jenkins and a forensic psychologist. And the idea was to talk about the incident in Florida and really look at, you know, what is the, let's say, underlying issues. I think we're all kind of tired of talking about it. And as I said to my guests today, I want to make a difference. I really want, really, no more meetings, like you said, Chuck, Thursday night at the opioid panel discussion that was held. It was a great discussion, but no more meetings. We need to get it done. There are people who are dying, and it's important to deal with this in a proactive, get-it-done way. So today's conversation is meant to come to some agreement, come up with some ideas, come up with some methods to move us forward and get some results. So, but we're going to be talking about this idea of mental health, guns, but also it really primarily focused from the standpoint of security for our kids in the school system. And there's a lot of philosophies around how to approach that. You know, do we arm our teachers? Do we, you know, bring in military and retired law enforcement? How do we ensure that we have the school systems equipped to deal with any nefarious acts? So I have with me today Brad Young, who was gracious to come in. I'm texting with him a couple nights ago. I'm like, can you do it? You know, I really, really appreciate, yes, Brad, you being here, who is the president of our Board of Education. And I just felt that Brad could give us some, look, we've had the conversation before. We keep having the conversation. What are we doing really to get it done? And what do you need from your perspective to get it done? And then I invited Sheriff Chuck Jenkins to continue the conversation from last week with me, with Brad, to look at, okay, how are we going to marry these two forces? And you guys are such great leaders in this, not only our community. I'm going to say, you know, we have people listening from Southern Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Howard County and Northern Montgomery County. So this is a conversation that's not just about Frederick County. It is about a broader systemic issue. Right. So I want us to have that conversation and see what kind of movement we can cause from here, because I really am tired of talking about it. I want results, and I know the people listening do. So let's start with Brad. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen Parkland, you know, and then we're going to play a clip on something that's actually going on outside of this immediate area and bring that in. But from your perspective, right quick, what was it like when you heard about Parkland?
You know, it takes you back to all the shootings. Anytime you hear about a school shooting, it certainly puts a pit in your stomach when you have children and grandchildren and you know you're responsible in Frederick County for 43,000 plus students, that you're doing everything that you can to make them safe. I say that Frederick County is extremely blessed and that our school system has a great relationship with our sheriff, great working relationship with him and with our other local law enforcement officers, the cities, Frederick City, and the other cities that have that. And so I know we work very closely with them. Our head of security is Scott Blundell, who retired from the Sheriff's Department, has close relationships that are there. So the first thing we do after something like Parkland is say, what can we do different? Can we do something different? I've talked to Chuck many times since Parkland, and I've asked him many times, is there anything you think we can do to make this better?
Well, good for you.
That's part of what our responsibility is to look back and say, thank God it didn't happen here, but it could. And we know last year, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, we came very close to a situation like that happening right here in Frederick County. And so what always happens after the events is go back, look and say, what are we doing? What can we do better? What can we do to prevent these things from happening? But the sad reality is we can do everything in the world and it can still happen. And so that's the part that you'll never, you know, I've had parents say, can you guarantee me my child's going to be safe in school? I can't do that. I've asked Chuck. Chuck can't do that. It's impossible to do. So we have to do everything we can to make the school safe, make sure that students that have issues that might lead to something like that get the attention that they need, and then do everything we can to inform the community about what's going on.
Yeah. Good morning. I agree. We've got a great relationship at our level. This actually goes back to Sandy Hook five or 6 years ago when we had these same conversations. So the leadership has a relationship there. We get along. The foundation is laid on the ground with the deputies in the high schools and the feeder schools, and Frederick City Police have the elementary schools in the city. So the foundation is there. The relationships are there. Again, the question is, how do we build on what we have to assure that this doesn't happen? And we can never guarantee that.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that because I want to talk about the gaps. But I want to acknowledge you guys for that, what I'm going to call it, integrated network of support. Because with that, that cohesiveness is so critical. And we can all have differing political views, but when it comes to that network of support, we must agree. We must have that cohesiveness. So really great job. Why don't we play the news clip we've been covering from Allegheny County?
A 15-year-old boy has been arrested for threatening to bomb his high school. A Cumberland City Police news release says the department was notified Thursday night of a social media post by the teen where he threatened to bomb Allegheny High School. The sophomore was arrested and has been charged with threat of arson and false statement of destructive device.
Okay, so in that incident, it didn't happen here, but it happened. So I know, Chuck, you've been looking at the social media piece. You guys are on top of that with these kits, right?
We are. We really are. Yeah.
And so without giving away your trade secrets, and I'm assuming, Brad, that from your perspective, do you all do anything on that?
We do. And I'll tell you, 2 weekends ago, well, since Parkland, the amount of potential issues has been rising dramatically. And I'll tell you, 2 weekends ago, Saturday, I get on my phone and I have a private message from a parent about a situation at a school where somebody said something and they were worried about it. And they said, should I be worried? I said, absolutely. I immediately contacted Scott Blundell, our security officer. He immediately contacted Chuck's department. There was somebody out at that child's house to talk to them. So again, it's the amount social media has a lot of great things, but it's been absolutely horrible for these types of situations. When you have something happen, kids get on, they talk, they say things, and sometimes they're kidding, sometimes they're not. But we have to assume they're all not.
Well, I appreciate that you're not blowing it off. You know, this idea that it's like an incinerator. It's like there's something ready to just blow. Do you experience that, Chuck?
You know, let me step back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes. But
yeah.
Let me step back. You may be talking about the one I'm talking about.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, in this particular case, we did have a threat of a student coming to school, shooting up the school, and a particular student. Well, again, contact was made with the school administrators, who immediately contacted my deputy that was at the school. He made immediate contact with the student, got the parents involved. There was a conversation that boy was going to get immediate psychological help. We went to the home with the consent of the parents. We searched the home and guaranteed with what we saw that he had no immediate access to firearms, so he didn't have the means to carry that out.
So let me just stop you. You went into the home and
made sure
that he did not have access to firearms.
Absolutely.
That's what was one of the failures in Parkland.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, so we do a search of the home with consent. You know, the parents absolutely, and in most cases in this county, the parents step up and do the right thing. That's one thing that's really good about Frederick County. Rarely do we have resistance to this.
Right.
So we did the search. We come back. The student was suspended from the school, and he was charged on a juvenile referral. So he is now in the system. We did everything we could have done and should have done.
When you say in the system, he's incarcerated?
No. He's in the juvenile justice system.
And what does that mean?
That means he will go through juvenile justice. They'll conduct a hearing. He'll be brought in to determine what he needs, if it's psychological counseling, if it's assistance, a child in need of supervision. So he will do his thing through the criminal justice system. But the bottom line is he's on our radar now.
Is he at home?
Who's
he in custody with?
Okay. In custody of his parents, yeah.
Got that.
Unless he really takes steps to carry out the act, this is the norm.
Okay.
Well, and recently we just had a shooting at CMU, I don't know where that is, where the child on campus killed his parents.
Right, right.
So, you know, it may get turned internally to a family if there's that kind of resentment, anger, whatnot. And this is where I think, you know, we want to blame it on guns, but that's a smokescreen. We have to deal with this mental health, what I'm calling a crisis.
It's just like the addiction problem.
They go hand in hand.
They do, but we blame the heroin, we blame the drug of the day, but it's the addiction that...
Which is a mental health issue.
Right.
And until we start to confront, and, you know, I've had many conversations with mental health professionals. They're worried about the stigma. Well, unless these kids are willing to say, raise their hand and say, you know what? Yep, I take meds. You know, so what? You know, I got a common cold. I take Theraflu. You know, if you have something where you need to manage a mental condition, take the meds. Let's stop the stigma.
I want to talk about that a little bit. Yeah. Number one, I talked about the great relationship that we have with our SROs and our high school feeder programs. One of the great parts about having them every day is they get to know the kids, and the more that they're there, the more comfortable the kids get and feel in sharing things. So again, to our students, if you're listening, you know, they are there. They are a resource officer. They're there to help. And if you suspect something, say something to them.
Let me build on that, Brad. Yes. And if you're a parent listening
and
you know that your child is reclusive or struggling in some way, reach out to that SRO as a parent.
Right.
That's a resource for you, too.
The second piece of it, the board's taken real seriously. The last couple of years, we've added to our mental health resources in the schools by adding additional psychologists and social workers.
Great.
Not as many as I would like. Unfortunately, the budget is very, very tight, and we're not able. I would love to see that we have those resources available in every school to every student. We're not there yet. We're working towards that. But that's in the schools that we've been able to increase those resources. We've seen that we've had more students coming forward saying, you know, something's not right. I need to talk to somebody. Let's help me get those resources that I need. And whether it comes down to preventing an act like this, preventing a kid from getting involved in drugs, or preventing a kid from maybe taking their own life. And we've seen way too much of that. And again, that's and I don't want to call it an epidemic, but it's certainly something that we've seen way too much of. And again, you know, as a person sitting here, I'll say that you can never understand why somebody would get to that point. But there are a lot of people that do, and we need to help them get away from that point and get the resources that they need.
Yeah. And I'm going to piggyback on what he said about students taking their lives. Just last week, this past week, I get a call 6:30 in the evening from the parent of a student, again, at Catoctin, who was going to be a copycat of the previous week's incident.
Right.
And I could immediately get a hold of my commander of the school resource unit, who got a hold of Blundell. So together we worked to identify who this was, and within 15 minutes had a police officer at the young man's house with the cooperation of the parents. So it works.
Yeah.
It works in this county.
Yeah, it's really great. Now, I want to take it again to a broader conversation. How, Chuck, would you speak to your comrades, other sheriffs or leads of law enforcement in various communities surrounding us? What do you have to say to them? Because, you know, you're a leader. I consider you a leader in this. I mean, you've been a national spokesperson on some of these issues.
You know, it's really hard. I don't judge other sheriffs by their policy or their actions. I just know what works in this county and what's been successful here. And I know that every surrounding jurisdiction does have deputies or officers in the schools, and I would assume their relation. You would hope the relationships are as good as they are here. That's just impossible to know. But you know, I can only tell you to listen. I stay personally involved in this. I have my school resource commander right outside my office door, 20 steps away.
That's great.
So everything that comes across his plate comes across my plate. We share, again, Brad and I, we share the information almost on a weekly basis. We talk. So it's those types of things that really allow this to be successful.
It's a partnership. It truly is. We're going to take a quick break. I want to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. And I want to encourage people who are listening, if you want to call in, if you've got a comment, you've got a concern, you've got a question, call 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Brad Young, President of the Board of Education here in Frederick County, and Sheriff Chuck Jenkins. And we're having an important conversation that I want to really remind us that this is not a Frederick County conversation. This is a global conversation. And what are the things that are working? What are the things that, where are the gaps are that we need to fill? It might be in security measures at the schools, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. But I want to give people a tool right now, Brad. You mentioned that people reach out to you directly, but some people listening may not know how to do that. So give them a way to reach out if they have a concern. And listen, guys, it could be the friend of one of your children. It could be somebody in the neighborhood. It could be somebody you see in the community and you have a concern that they're troubled in some way. I'm not saying they're pack and you know, they're going to do something horrible, but you know that they're struggling because we have to start intervening earlier.
Well, I would say first off, you certainly can reach out to the school, get through to the principal, get through to the guidance officer office, get through to the school psychologist. You certainly can always, this tip that I had the other week came into the BOE email, which is boe@fcps.org.
Say that again.
BOE for Board of Education, yep, at fcps.org. I answer all those, and generally I review those from 7 a.m. till past midnight.
Great.
Every day. So you can certainly send it there. But you should feel comfortable to go to the school and say, hey, look, I've got a concern about one of your students that's here. And they should take it seriously. They certainly should.
Very good. That's very good advice. Now, when we look at this idea, you had some, I think, community meetings coming up that we want to give you guys some resources and opportunities to plug in.
Again, I can't say enough about the cooperation that we have with Sheriff Jenkins and his department and folks in our other agencies. But we're working on putting together two meetings. And the first one is a community meeting that's going to focus on the training that we provide to our students so parents can see what the students are getting, which is the avoid, deny, defend protocol, and providing resources to help parents talk with their kids about these situations. And so that will be a community meeting. We haven't set the date on that yet, but that will be coming out. The second one.
Hold on, Brad. Yes. So where would they check in to see that information when it's posted? Is there a Facebook page?
It'll be on the FCPS Facebook page. It'll be on the FCPS main page, and we will send out Find Out First to all the folks that are signed up for that, that will get that. And we'll also make that information available in the schools and through the newspaper and through WFMD.
Okay, great. So, guys, like their Facebook page because that's a great resource. Okay, keep going.
The second meeting is talking about how communities recover when either you've had an actual incident or like Catoctin last year where you could have had one. And we're very fortunate that the former principal of Columbine High School, Frank DeAngelis, will be at Catoctin High School on May 16th to talk about that situation and how communities deal with that. I do have the date. Actually, the first meeting will be on April 16th at TJ High School. The second meeting, May 16th at Catoctin High School. The second session will also include the how to talk to kids after these situations, giving parents resources about how to talk to kids. A lot of times after these kids get withdrawn and they get drawn in, they don't necessarily talk. And then talking is a good thing because it enables them to share what their thoughts are, if they're scared, those kinds of things. And again, the first session is going to be in coordination with Sheriff Jenkins and his department and other law enforcement resources. And so what we want to do is, I get this question a lot from parents, I don't know what have you done to train my kid to be safe? I say at our most recent board workshop we had, the board even went through the active assailant training that we've been giving throughout our schools to train our teachers, our students, visitors. What do you do in these type situations? So if Sheriff Jenkins wants to elaborate on that, we're trying to do everything we can do to make sure that if this happens here, we follow the right protocol, do the right things, and that we're working with our
Well, you're being proactive, too, yes, right, which is really great. Right. Sheriff, you want to say something about that?
No, it's a new rollout of training for civilians. It's actually a civilian response to an active shooter event. So it does tell you what we expect as law enforcement, how you should respond to avoid, to deny, and if necessary, defend yourself at the end of the day. If you have no other choice, there's going to come a time you may have to defend yourself. So
avoid meaning don't put yourself in the situation,
deny,
which basically, if you see something coming, get out of harm's way. Find a way out, find an exit, get out of that particular situation by whatever means possible.
If your classroom door can be locked, lock it, barricade it, right. Make it harder for the assailant to be able to get to where you are.
Got that. And then defend if you
but
must.
But, you know, we've done this in virtually every school in Frederick County, every college campus. We've rolled it out to a lot of businesses. So
here's what I want to encourage. For people who are listening, if you're not in this area, but you want to tap into this resource, would you be willing to take your show on the road and take it to other communities and counties outside of Frederick County? Because I think we need to start cross-training better. Because if there's something that's working in our jurisdiction, and clearly it is, you've intervened on several incidences now in advance.
Right.
That says something.
And I'll say in the Catoctin situation, I know Sheriff Jenkins is doing that there. He's participating in a program that's going to share how they went through the protocol of that situation and avoided
good.
And that's going to be a regional presentation, right, Brad?
Yes.
Yeah, very good, guys. That's great. Because I think when we look at Parkland, and we talked about this extensively last week, it was a failure at multiple levels, at the level of law enforcement, because they didn't intervene. They didn't step in when they should have, could have. And one kept this young man from having access to firearms. You just said that in the earlier case here. And so I really want to reiterate that it's, in my view, avoiding the ultimate conversation to make this about firearms, because I know a lot of people who have concealed carry. I know a lot of people who are expert marksmen. I know a lot of people who are responsible gun owners. And I don't worry about hanging out with them. So there is something we have to deal with around access to guns for people who should not have access to guns. And it's a tough conversation, because if you go back to the stigma of we don't want to be mean, we don't want to say something that might offend somebody, we're so overly politically correct that we've got blinders on to people who are suffering and in harm's way. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Please call if you have a comment or question. 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. Are we on air?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That was an interesting comeback. But anyway, welcome back. And I have with me today Brad Young, president of Frederick County Board of Education, and Sheriff Chuck Jenkins. And we're talking about this systemic issue, really, around safety in the schools. How do we empower our families and our parents to say something, our teachers to say something? And when we look at the failures of Parkland, and I think we really have to use that as a learning opportunity, and I'm sure you all have done your debriefing around that. Where were the problems that occurred that we want to make sure that doesn't happen here? And I, again, give you guys a lot of accolades for your partnership and your intervention. You've been proactive in addressing these issues. But I want to talk about teachers, training, being armed. And I want to say something. If that security guard, and I said this last Saturday, if that security guard had been armed, quote-unquote security guard, he was a quote-unquote security guard. If he had been armed, I think it would have been a very different outcome. Well, and he took those bullets because he didn't have any other choice.
Right.
And, you know, I bet if I were a kid in the room with him, I would have said, man, I wish he had a gun. So we can say we don't want them to have guns, but when the rubber meets the road and we're in that situation, we want somebody to have a gun.
Well, I say first off, and this is probably the one misconception that a lot of people have had, our SROs do have guns. There's some people that think we have a gun-free zone. We don't. They are fully armed with their normal weaponry that they have when they're on the street. As far as arming teachers, and this is probably the one issue that Chuck and I don't totally agree on. I know he's for that. I just don't think that it's our teachers' responsibility to do that. They have so much on them. And this is a discussion we had just the other day. And what I said, and we said, well, how can we get around that?
And actually, this even goes back again to Sandy Hook.
All the way back to Sandy Hook.
We've had this.
And one of the issues that we had is, number one, having them have the training? Where do they have the firearm? Is it on them? You know, are they, if they're distracted by their other jobs, is it likely that something could happen? If not, putting in a lockbox, our teachers and our folks don't sit in the same spot. What happens if the incident happens and it's locked here and they're over
there? Well, they got to have it on them. It doesn't help if it's across the room.
And my fear would be is there's probably a higher chance of something bad happening with them having it on than them for preventing something, and that's my personal opinion.
Well, let me say something about that. If I walk into a room and somebody's got a gun on them, there's a new level of respect.
You don't mess with people who are wearing a gun.
This all goes back to a part of the training of handgun retention, if in fact you are armed.
Right.
I have different thoughts, but
yeah. And what I say is, you know, our police department, my son-in-law is a police officer, my brother-in-law is a retired police officer. When they're working, they're focused on what they're doing. They know that every second could be a potentially dangerous situation.
You have to be what we call be on.
You have to be on. And the problem is that our teachers have so many duties already. There are things that are going on, and they could be distracted with a student that's doing something over here, and they're not on, and that gun is on them.
Well, and they're supposed to be on their teaching game, and I get that. But let me say this. There's a gentleman I just had a conversation with, David Wilson, who's actually a candidate down in Montgomery County, but he is a retired military. He's a substitute teacher, and he has a concealed carry.
Right.
Okay? I hope that's okay. I just said that on air. There you go. Uh-oh. But the point is, this is a gentleman. He said, you want me teaching.
Well,
so what I want to say, Brad, is it may be there's a new criteria added to the application.
And that's the talk that Chuck and I had. What we talked about is in these situations where you have highly trained either retired officers, off-duty officers, retired military folks that have that training, again, I wouldn't be as opposed. And I want to be clear. I'm speaking myself, not for the Board of Education.
Okay.
I'm speaking as Brad Young. I wouldn't be as opposed to having potentially somewhat like the air marshals that are on planes. You don't know if somebody's on the plane or not. You don't know where they're at. This is one of the discussions that Chuck and I had. Your uniformed armed officer in the building is going to be one of the first targets when you go in there, because they know that's their only the only thing stopping them from having free reign. So again, potentially having folks, but I would not want those folks to have other duties. I would want their duties primarily to be making that building safe, so they are always on if they are doing that protection and not having other duties that distract them from doing that.
You had something you wanted to share about the SROs.
They're sworn deputy sheriffs who are armed with both their handguns and their tasers and batons and everything else that we carry on the street. So they are a fully equipped sworn law enforcement officer. They're not security guards, okay? So I've got a little bit different view. I think there's a possibility here to discuss and look at. I don't mean giving every teacher a gun. I don't mean arming school teachers in general. But I think there's maybe an opportunity to look at an armed security team of, say, five or six administrators, to include teachers, faculties, janitors in every school, because I really believe that if the public felt and the bad guys even believed there was a possibility that this armed security team...
Posse. We're going to call them a posse.
No, let's don't do that. Let's not do that. But that this
it's
team existed in a school,
right,
the likelihood that you wouldn't attack that school. If you believe that you would be engaged and encountered and killed in the process, I think that's a strong deterrent.
Right.
You would be very selective about the people you chose. We could get them trained in both use of the handgun proficiency, handgun retention, all the things that we train. We train several times a year, so you get them trained up. I think there's a way to do this that would be safe. They could carry out their jobs and also provide that level of protection.
Brad, do you have a knowledge of, if you look across your staff, of all the teachers across the county, can you identify or have you surveyed them to understand, one, would they be willing to, like Chuck's just suggested, and maybe this is something to do, okay? Survey them. Would you be willing? Two, are you already? Are you already somebody who knows how to shoot a gun?
Right.
Have you got that certification?
But it's not just shooting.
And three, would you be willing?
No.
Yeah, sorry.
You've got to have the mindset and the mental fortitude to be willing to do. That's a tough thing. That ramps things up a little bit. So, yeah, you're willing to carry a gun, but can you actually, do you have the fortitude and the mental
Stability.
Not stability, but the mental toughness, I guess, to walk into a situation and engage.
Pull that trigger and shoot.
It is. Listen, I tell you, a lot of people, when they talk about concealed carry, when you really lay this out to them, they say, you know what? I don't want that responsibility.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's another...
Well, and that's part of the criteria you got to go through.
And Jen, I do, to answer your question, I do think that that's a good idea. If we get to that point, we certainly want our teachers engaged and involved to say, is this something that we feel would be beneficial to us, to our students? And we also want the community involved in that.
And let me just say this, having spoken to a fair amount of teachers around this, it has to be anonymous. And I don't know how you identify, but if they think that it has any political ramification to their job, they will not give you a straight answer. Because there's, unfortunately, there's a belief system, particularly for conservatives in the county system, that if it could harm their ability to be employable if they were to come out and say, yeah, we should do this. And then there's some ramification to that conversation. So my request is that you do it in an anonymous way so that people can give you that feedback without feeling fear of telling you the truth.
Right. And looking at the possibility of retired deputies or law enforcement or retired military, great idea. It's much like the reserve deputy program we had at one point. The problem is the commitment to keep it going.
Right.
Once you start this, you find that people, because they're volunteers, I can't afford to pay all these people out of my budget. Okay, unless we somehow...
Well, and you may find there are some military that would volunteer for this.
Yes, absolutely, for a while. But it's pretty soon that, you know, the commitment wanes.
Yes, I get that. Well, having run a nonprofit where we relied substantially on volunteers, when people are passionate and about that mission, they will volunteer. Now, I want to just say we've got a caller I want to take in. I want to just mention one more thing. I think we need to deal with the ratio. One individual SRO at a school of 3,500 was clearly insufficient.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a call from Rich. Rich, you're on the air.
Now it's Butch from the Step Down.
Oh, hi, Butch.
That's close.
We're hearing impaired. Sorry.
Anyway, did I say what? Anyway, what I wanted to say, I've been fired weapons since I was like 4 years old. I'm very familiar with them. And the one thing my father taught me when I was a kid, if you are going to carry a weapon any place, you have to be, if you're going to try to be protecting somebody, you have to realize that you might have to die too. And that's part of the mindset that Sheriff Jenkins is talking about.
Right.
Because, you know, just pointing that gun, that doesn't scare anybody. You never point a gun at anything you not intend to kill, but you can be killed at the same time. So you have to be... prepare to die yourself. And so you have to realize that when you are carrying that weapon that people are relying on you to do the right thing.
Thank you, Butch. That's a great comment. Thank you so much. Sheriff, do you have anything to say about that?
No, he kind of reinforced my point. Thank you, Butch.
Yeah, that's great. We have another caller. You want to make a comment?
What I want to add back to your saying one officer wasn't enough there, I agree. But what it comes down to, and Chuck knows this and has made the point, it comes down to what are people willing to pay for? How badly do they want that? Secondly,
here's what I would say as a parent.
Yeah.
It's priceless.
I understand that. Okay, it's priceless.
Yeah.
The second piece of it is that you have to have enough officers. And I know a lot of police agencies now are already undermanned. They don't have enough people to even fill out their slots to do the regular street duty, yet to take and have additional officers committed to every school.
Well, that gets into a recruiting issue.
It's tough out there.
Well, because you got these young people who have done things they shouldn't be doing, and it's in the way of their being hired. Okay, let's take a call from Mary.
Hi, Mary Posey, and
Mary.
I appreciate the show. I wanted to call in and share an opinion, and that is before we start asking the teachers, especially locally, what we think and how comfortable would they be with carrying a firearm, I wish that we could allow them to have more of a voice in some of their concerns regarding how we are mainstreaming or including some of our, I will say, more violent students into the regular classroom in some ways. And I see this every day. I've been all the way up to the middle school level. I see the true challenges of our teachers and special education instructional assistants in our school system. And there are many times where we are kidding ourselves and taking Johnny and putting him into a regular classroom setting where, because of issues that are beyond his control, he is teased, pointed out, bullied, eat lunches alone. And how many times the teacher or the assistant, they say, and they have to, the hoops they have to go through, because they know that child does not belong in that setting. Maybe they belong in the pyramid program, and we have that at the elementary, middle, and high school level. And even in those cases with the pyramid program, we have students who have to do home hospital care. They end up at Brook Lane. The school system that we live in, there are two things that are different than when Chuck, Brad, me, and everybody we know went through high school and went through school around here. Two things have changed. The drugs are far different and more potent, and we have more children in our school system with so many issues. And I applaud the teachers, the staff, all the way up to Dr. Alden. Everybody's doing all they can to address this. But there's more to be talked about than just how do we protect them. And I would love for the teachers and SEIAs to have a town hall opportunity or something to talk about things they feel needs to be changed before we get into the discussion of arming them.
Mary, thank you so much for your call. We have another caller. It's a lot of activity. I want to give Brad an opportunity to respond.
Right. Well, Mary, first off, thank you for your call, and thank you for what you do in service to our students. And you're right. I think one of the big things that's changed from when you, Chuck, and I went to school is discipline. You know, I know when I went to school, if I didn't behave in school, I didn't want to go home because I was going to face some pretty severe consequences. And when Jimmy Reeder and I first ran together, we had these discussions, you know, that, again, part of what a lot of our kids, the issue that we have is they don't have any fear of doing things for what punishment they might get. And, again, that is one big difference now. What Mary's talking about is, again, some students that are not doing the right things stay in classrooms and create problems. We do have programs like Pyramid, which is pulling students out of the regular classes and putting them in very targeted classes. Beyond that, we have students that are pulled out and sent to outplacements. And then finally, we have the opportunity for students that, you know, that are doing really bad things. We have our Heather Ridge program. I personally don't think we put enough students there. That school, the amount of attendance at Heather Ridge has gone down.
Well, because we have something
over the last 10 years, because we want every kid to have the opportunity to get their education. But if they're being disruptive, they're not only affecting their education, they're affecting others.
Well, and I think it's important to understand we have to meet people where they are, not try and pull them into where we are.
Yeah.
If we do that, it's a disservice to that child. Listen, that kid at Parkland was diagnosed autistic.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that all autistic folks will do these horrible acts, but there was something that was severely missed around that that diagnosis with access to firearms and a whole slew of people who didn't pay attention in the law enforcement arena, that, you know, it was catastrophic waiting to happen.
Right.
So, but I do think we have to be compassionate to people who are diagnosed with different conditions and meet them where they are.
Right.
That's the right thing to do, not to try to be politically correct and force them into our world and have them struggle. And to Mary's point, not be given the opportunity to work through whatever there is to work through, to have it work for them so that they can lead a meaningful and contributory life.
Right.
So that's my thing. But anyway, Chuck, and then we're going to go to a break.
Go ahead. You're back.
Yeah. Okay. He says, oh, you're the boss. I love that. So we're going to take a quick break. I want to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now, and we're going to take a call from Kyle when we get back.
Minutes right here on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I want to thank Brad Young and Sheriff Chuck Jenkins for joining me this morning. We're going to take a call from Kyle in just a moment, but I do want to start to introduce something that has been in the news, and Chuck and I actually learned about it after our show finished on Saturday, and this idea that there was an agreement made. It sounds a bit like an MOU between Memorandum of Understanding between the county public school system in Broward County and I assume the superintendent as an individual. In other words, that leadership.
He was the brand new superintendent looking for a way to reduce the number of arrests in their school.
Okay. And they went into cahoots with the sheriff's department. And effectively, from 2011 to 2016, over a five-year span, they dropped their arrests by 63%. Now, that's terrific if people actually aren't doing bad things. That's great. You've turned your community around. People aren't going out there doing crazy things. Actually, everybody's getting along, and that's a good thing. However, if it's people out there doing bad things, not getting caught or not getting arrested so that your community looks safer and maybe your property values stay up or, you know, I don't know, higher income people are still moving in and bringing that revenue to the county, there's some real nasty aspects to this thing. And it's come out this week. It's called the Promise Program. And when the Broward County folks did this, okay, then apparently President Obama at the time took to it and he rolled it out. And I think it went back and they ended up seeing over $40 million of influx of money out of this Promise Program and Obama picking it up. So I have a question, and I don't know what the answer is. It may be rhetorical. Is that affecting us? Is that Promise Program elsewhere? Because if it's in Broward County, that's part of their problem and they need to fix it. But if it's across this nation because Obama rolled it out, we need to deal with something.
I can tell you it's not in Frederick County.
No. Okay,
nor would
good.
I ever agree to something like that.
Very good. Excellent. Great answer. Okay, Kyle. Kyle, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to echo the thanks that you gave the sheriff and President Young earlier, because the partnership that you clearly have from all this communication back and forth has clearly had a great benefit to our students. And I just wanted to share that I see that partnership pervading down at all levels of the school. My child attends Crestwood Middle School, and earlier this year I had to be in there in the middle of the day for an event, and as I was coming in, Paul Lebo, Mr. Blundell, Roger Fritz, Sergeant Landall, and our SRO, who I forget his name. He used to be Jay Godlove, but they switched. They all came walking out, and they just finished the security audit of the building. And, you know, that's SCPS leadership, the sheriff's leadership down at the root level, working together really closely to make sure our buildings are secure. But I think if there's one thing we could do to improve, it's that our kids have a culture of violence right now that is really far beyond anything I was exposed to as a kid. And they see their peers solving problems with their fists much more regularly than I ever did when I was a student. And I really think that we have to nip that in the bud. The consequences need to be stepped up because, you know, far too often you see these students around and, you know, they're back in school, you know, immediately after these things happen. And, you know, without strong consequences, we can't expect it to stop.
Thank you, Kyle. That's a great comment. I really appreciate you saying this culture of violence, because I think that's accurate. And I wonder if there's an opportunity to bring students together in these forums to start to talk through alternative thinking to try to dismantle that culture of violence. What do you think?
I think there's always, and again, anytime you have these situations, you have to look and assess and say, what can we do? How can we help people cope? How can we help people work through these situations? Again, I think the biggest thing that's changed since we were kids is the social media. You know, when something happens during the day, when we were in school, it ended at 3 o'clock and it didn't start till 9 o'clock the next morning. Now it goes home
all night long.
Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and then morning, the next time they see each other is when they get there to the school. And so that's changed our world in a lot of ways for the good, but in a lot of ways for the bad.
Well, and this is where parents really need to be monitoring the social
Limit
media of their
kids' access to
forget
that.
Privacy. They don't, as somebody said, you don't get privacy until you're 18. Yes.
What did I say last week? Remember my words? I despise social media. Let me go back to Promise real quick.
Yeah.
That was done for a couple reasons. First and foremost was the dollars that go with it. Secondly, to reduce recidivism, okay? Actions that repeat themselves with behavior.
Well, and there was an employment component. They were afraid the kids wouldn't be employable.
Well,
that they would have
but
a record.
If there's not consequences, the behavior never stops.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You cannot pretend your way out of this. You actually got to deal with reality. Wow, we are at the top of the hour, and this has been a phenomenal conversation. So I want to come out of this with some actions to take. My question to you, Brad, really fast. Do you have all your doors locked? Is the security getting in and out tight?
Yes.
Do you have a proper ratio of SROs for the population of that school?
And you're giving me 2 minutes to answer that.
Ready, go.
Again, I think we do a great job. Can we do some things better? Yes. Again,
what would you do differently? What do you want to add?
We're completing to get all of our schools so that you have to buzz in to the building. Even as president of the school board, when I go to a building, I have to buzz in to get into that building.
Is that in place now?
That's in place now, and the majority of our buildings, we're completing it in the ones that it is not.
Okay.
Again, from the standpoint of working with our sheriff's department, working with our local police agencies to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make our schools as safe as we can. Again, anytime if Chuck has something, he has my cell phone number, I have his, we call each other and say, look, this happened. What can we do to prevent that? Should we have more SROs? I'd love to, but it's a matter of, do we have them? What does it cost? Are people willing to pay for it?
Well, do you have openings right now?
We have our schools covered, but again, Chuck, how many open slots?
I have one SRO, one armed deputy sheriff in every high school responsible for their feeder clusters.
Okay, all right. You guys, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. We'll continue the discussion. We're going to take on the opioid situation in the near future, so stay tuned. This has been Success Happens. Have a great week.